True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, SCORE senior football analyst Hub Arkish on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That has such an NFL Films feel about it, which is fitting for our senior NFL analyst Hub Arkish. Doesn't this sound great? Like the Sable family did something really good for you, Hub, that you've been immortalized this way?
Well, I don't know. Sounds good, yes. Yeah, sounds very good.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I want that. That was such a thing for me as a kid on Saturday afternoons, early evening, watching that and the sound. I had no idea what all that, you know, the classical music and the deep voice guy and the way and the slow motion. And that was such a thing that it remains today to be such an important part and a bar, the comparison, the gold standard for presenting any NFL news, NFL film, any telling NFL stories. That, to me, is the gold standard from 50 years ago. You watched this, yeah, right? Wasn't that your...
Oh, yeah, I think all those things that we remember growing up and you know, becoming close to or falling in love with the sports or whatever it was that became part of our life that we remember now. And now that, you know, we've had kids and grandkids and tried to tell them about it. That's all a very important part of life, I think.
And the remarkable, the way they did it and the way they presented it, it's still something the Shield should be proud of. So I don't know how proud they would be of last week's game between the Bears and the Cardinals, but things, every game, there are things to be learned. Maybe not move the meter, maybe not move the needle, maybe not push you one way or another. So what did you come away with against the Cardinals? What did you come away with as units or a team or a coach or a player regarding the Bears?
You know, you continue to feel better about every game they win. I think that's where you start. But you also have to, you know, evaluate them and say, are you making progress? And I think that they, you know, once again made progress on defense, you know, and this defense is obviously pretty good right now. I think maybe we're overrating it a little bit because it has improved. I'm not sure, you know, when you look at the schedule that they're playing, you know, that I can say, hey, we're ready to have a playoff defense, but the improvement is real. There's no question about that. And I think you got to feel good about that. Offensively, you know, we go through the same thing every week. We're trying to find what's right with Justin Fields and trying to make excuses for what's wrong and blame other people. But at the end of the day, with only two games left, I don't think they know anything more about the quarterback situation than they did when the season started. And so, you know, it's going to make the offseason interesting, and they could still go a lot of different ways. And I think the injuries at running back and receiver, you know, it's hard to know where this offense is at right now. And I think that the disappointing play of the offensive line last week was a concern because, you know, they haven't been completely healthy, but they weren't that banged up. And so that's an area where they still need more work.
So the idea that you brought up that the last two games assessing the quarterback, you believe that's an assessment in progress, or they're just waiting till the end. They may, whatever the movie is so far, they know which way this is going to end, but they're going to play it out and look at it from top to bottom the way thoughtful people should, thoughtful decision makers should. But I've had a feeling that if these two games would make that much of a difference, one of them being against Atlanta, I could see putting Justin Fields in Lambeau Field against the Packers, something on the line, or something's always on the line because it's the Packers, and the way they started the season was not their finest moment. I could see that being not necessarily the deal breaker or deal maker, but I could see that weighing important. But you think these last two games really mean something in the evaluation that people at Halas Hall, that Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren are going through about the quarterback they have now?
Well, no, I think that they at this point know what they have. And I think they know what they're dealing with. I don't think that, you know, Justin Fields' talent, you know, keeps stopping you from giving up. And I don't think you quit on the guy. I think that you still have potential to have something special there. But I think they're at the point now, you know, after 3 years and after what they've seen this year, they have a pretty good idea of what they think he's going to be and become and what they're going to do about it. But the assets that they have to fix it are still developing, you know, whether they're going to have that number one overall pick. I think if the Panthers lose tomorrow, then it's locked in that they've got the number one pick. And, you know, you hope that the Panthers lose that game. And then, you know, you really start to lock it up. You know, where are you at in evaluating the quarterbacks that are going to be draftable and which ones are going to come out? Are they all going to come out? You know, so I think what they're doing now really is focusing more on the assets that they know they have and the options that they have as to how to continue to develop that quarterback position. And I do think they're going to draft a quarterback. I don't think there's any question about that. Probably in the first round, although I don't know that they're going to draft one at number one. And, you know, I think that you just continually worry, am I going to move on and then find out that I was wrong? Now, you know, Steve, we've been doing this a long time, and I can think of practically no quarterbacks who, you know, were high first round picks, who couldn't develop early, who became, you know, franchise quarterbacks or difference makers later. It happens every once in a while, but it's rare. And so, you know, I think they know where they're at with Justin Fields. And I think that where they're focusing on right now is more about the rest of the roster, about the coaching staff, you know, about what changes they are going to make. And I do think those things will continue to grow in the next 2 weeks. I think that they probably know where they're going with Matt Eberflus, and I think it's reached the point where people should accept that he probably is going to be back and probably should be back based on what he's done this year. But there are things that could go wrong in the next couple of weeks that could change that. And then Matt looks at the rest of his crew, you know, and what's he going to do there? You know, there's so much talk about Luke Getsy, and I think a lot of that is unfair too, because Luke Getsy's biggest problem is that he's had to work with, you know, a not developed quarterback and one who may not, you know, ever develop, and all the injuries and everything else they've had. So that's what makes these last 2 weeks so important. I think that the only thing that they may have a final decision on is I think they probably do know at this point what they think Justin Fields is going to be, and they are trying to decide what the rest they put around with him, can that be good enough or not.
So Getsy in the blaming the player, blaming the offensive coordinator, or if not blaming, then listing the shortcomings where they should have done each responsibility, then where is Getsy's responsibility in your defense of him? Where is, with Justin Fields being more inaccurate than you could imagine or would want from somebody who's supposed to be a franchise quarterback, and being a turnover, a ball security nightmare, especially when it matters in the fourth quarter or clutch times. So, and your offensive coordinator hasn't developed that gimme play, hasn't found a go-to play, third and one, fourth and one, that extend drives and help your quarterback that way, then where Is this all the players' fault in your mind? Is it all Justin Fields' fault? You don't seem, while a lot of people are piling on Luke Getsy, those seem to be some of the biggest reasons why, and yet you're not one of those people. So what do you see? Those problems, that's Justin Fields' fault, the inaccuracy or the ball security problems?
You know, the problem that we have with this, Steve, all of us, especially me, is that, and I think this is really critical, and nobody ever talks about it, but the reality is, when we watch these games and we see what happens, we have no idea what the play call was.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to, you know, fire Luke Getsy because he's done such a bad job, but we don't know. He may have called all the right plays and they just haven't been run. And again, I'm not a defender of Luke Getsy. I don't want to be that either because, you know, there's no question that the offense has been disappointing. And certainly a lot of that, if not most of that, should be on him. But I just think that you know, we listen to all the conversation all week long, and a lot of it is coming from fans, and fans are entitled to that. You know, but the media bothers me a little bit more because I think the media as a group, we need to treat them more objectively, not necessarily more fairly, but more objectively. And I think the fact that we think we know what they're doing and what they're trying to do just because it doesn't work, well, that's not accurate. You know, it's up to us to get as much information as we can. And I know for a fact, there was that moment, and everybody's talking about it now. It jumped on me right when it happened between week 4 and week 5 when Justin told us that he thought maybe his biggest problem was the way he was being coached, you know. And at that moment, I knew there was a real problem because a young player developing, you know, shouldn't think that. He shouldn't believe that. He shouldn't. And if he does, it's that he isn't understanding what's happening. You know, now he has improved since then. And I don't know what their relationship is like. It seems to be a good relationship, but there's no question that they have not been able together to grow this offense to where it should be at the end of his third year. And that's on both of them. You know, you can't put all the blame on one or the other. But you know, I keep hearing, you know, because he rushed for 1,100 yards last year, there's no question that, you know, Justin Fields is the guy and Getsy's got to get fired, this and that. That's not a way to rebuild this team. And you know, I do know, you know, from talking to coaches and people that in the building, there is respect for Luke Getsy, and you know, and I know that Matt Eberflus respects Luke Getsy, and that's where this decision is going to come from. So I don't know, you know, what's going to happen there, but I think it's probably more important to decide and let it be known where you're going with Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy than it is to worry about Justin Fields at this point.
Hub Arkish is my guest. We're talking Bears football here on The Score. He's The Score senior NFL analyst. Half hour from now, I will be talking with Chuck Swirsky. He is a play-by-play voice of the Bulls. They play tonight, but he's also a very close friend of Joey Meyer, who died yesterday at 74, former DePaul coach, DePaul player, DePaul assistant coach, and quite a thing back when DePaul was actually a thing in the city. I'll talk to Chuck then, and then 90 minutes from now, Sean King. He was on with Bernstein and Holmes, and oh my God, a spirited, he launched into a defense of Justin Fields that you won't want to miss. But for now, Bears, Falcons, is this a game where everybody gets right or enough, or who gets right? Let me ask it that way. As you broke down the game, as you break it down, you look at it, what the Bears likely have healthy and ready to go. Who's likely to be the healthiest, or who's likely to turn this game and flash?
Well, you know, for the Bears, Montez Sweat has been a godsend. You know, I mean, that you've got a real player there. You've got a difference maker, and that is looking like a great trade. And he's gotten better every week. And I'm looking for a really big game from him this week. You know, you look at this team, this Falcons team, and they're very much in the playoff hunt. You know, they're a game away with two to play. They have a lot more to play for. We don't know. I guess we probably know, but between Ritter and Heinicke, I don't think either one's really an answer at quarterback. And their offense is not very good, you know, but their running game is. And so that's going to be the most interesting part about this game tomorrow to me is the Bears with the number one run defense in the league against, like, what are the Falcons? Eighth, I think, running the ball. And I thought they'd be better. Bijan Robinson was my favorite rookie this year. I thought I wanted the Bears to draft him. I thought thought he was going to be the next closest thing. There's not going to ever be another Walter Payton, but I thought he was going to possibly move to that league of the great running backs, and he may still. It's not like he's had a bad year, but he hasn't had the breakout year I expected. And then Algier is pretty good too. So they run the ball, a lot like the Bears do. They can do it with multiple running backs, and if the Bears run defense is for real against these guys and can take that away, then I'd be very surprised if the Bears lose this game. And so I expect the defense to play very well. I expect the pass defense to be, very good again, because they just don't throw the ball all that well. But then, you look at the other side of the ball, and what's the Bears offense going to do, And so now it's going to come back to Justin again. Can they dominate with the run on the game? But can Justin make a few plays, those few big plays, and can he make them in the fourth quarter if it's necessary? That's probably the biggest problem, where he's at right now, is that, you look at those three games lost in the fourth quarter, and everybody, is going to blame the coaches, and that's the coach's job. I understand that. That's why people are mad at the coaches. But you look at the way that Fields played in the fourth quarter in those three games, and that's where the biggest problem was in losing those games, or one of the biggest problems. I don't want to put it all on him. And so, how he performs in that situation, if he gets in that situation, it could be that the game is over by the time you get into the fourth quarter. I'm not predicting that, but, that's something you have to consider. But that's what I would love. I would love to see Justin have a big game in the fourth quarter, put together a couple drives, show people he's running the team and managing the team. And I think that would make a difference to a lot of people. It'd make a difference to me, and he's still 23 years old, even though it's his third year, it's not like he's done. And he is a very smart young man. And so it is interesting. I just think that they're at the point now with that position, with the supposedly being such a great quarterback draft, and them being in the position of possibly getting anyone that they want, that's why I have a hunch that they've already made up their mind. There is this last option, Steve, that I keep talking about, and I guess I'm the only one. Just because they draft another quarterback doesn't mean they get rid of Justin. You don't have to do that. And with the extra first round pick, they've got a lot of ways to go here. So I think it's going to be a really fun off season for Bears fans, because they're going to have so many options to do so many things, and they are an improving team now. But as far as tomorrow, they just got to get another win for everybody on the roster and everybody on the coaching staff. And I think winning big would be that much more impressive.
So for whatever the people you've talked to at Hallis Hall or Kevin Ward or Ryan Poles, in your lifetime, I don't know if you can remember the opportunity a Bears general manager had to start with a new coach, a new offensive coordinator, a new quarterback, reset everything. And especially if you have a defense you're starting to believe in, that's the second best friend a young quarterback could have. A running game is the first best friend. So having that opportunity, I can't remember the Bears being in this position. Around the NFL, is this the most enticing thing you could imagine if you're a GM or not?
It's funny, because one of the problems I'm having with analyzing all this is I don't really know Kevin Warren yet, and I'm hoping that this offseason I'll get a chance to, visit with him a little bit and get a better feel for where that's at. I do know that if you look at his track record, he's a great hire. I think he's going to build a new stadium. I think he's going to build a really good stadium, but he's not a football guy. He's a football guy in the football business, but I'm not real excited about the possibility of him starting to get involved in, picking players and deciding this and that. He has to, decide how comfortable he is with Ryan Poles. And I don't have any, sense yet that he's not. I would think he's in a great spot right now. He can do whatever he wants, but I don't think it would be a good thing for the Bears to have a new GM, a new head coach, and a new quarterback, because then you're basically starting to rebuild over again. Then you can throw away next year, because even if they've got better talent, they're going to be a better team. They're still trying to build something new again. And I think that they've come far enough, this second half of the season, that they've made a development that you're better off committing this year to seeing how much they can take what they've done so far, as opposed to starting from scratch. Because if you start with another new GM, head coach, and quarterback, you are starting another new rebuild.
I'm not, I'm fine with Ryan Poles as it stands. The mistakes are obvious, but the hits, the Montez Sweats, the signing of Komet, keeping him around, I just think he's That has it darn well right. I like the way he's gone about business, the first round picks that there are. I don't want a new GM at this point. I don't want Eberflus making any more decisions on assistant coaches. I've seen what he does with assistant coaches, and I don't trust his hiring. So I'm looking, if you're Ryan Poles, you are a football guy, and you have a chance to start over. That's where I really wanted the question to start. Is Ryan Poles all down, and suddenly you get a reset, and you get everything new? Can you, in your history of writing about football, being a fan of football, do you remember the Bears ever having this opportunity? And how enticing is it if you're Ryan Poles?
I don't remember an opportunity like this with the Bears because, you know, let's be honest, they've had some legendary GMs and they've lasted forever. And, you know, there's only been a few of them. And, you know, I would assume they've been pretty comfortable with the hires they've made until they weren't. And so, I do think this is a very different situation. I think you make the best point there, Steve, is that what really matters is where are Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus? And everything that I have seen every week at Hallis, they seem to be very much in lockstep and on the same page. Now, there were some comments this week that I know people jumped on and said, gee, maybe Poles is starting to wonder. I don't know if that's the case or not. But the appearance has been that Ryan Poles is committed to Matt Eberflus. At least that's been the appearance to me. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm kind of at the point right now where I do think Matt's going to get at least one more year.
I'm not saying there's anything I've heard that's different than that. I'm with you on that. That's kind of been the feeling. But I don't know how enticing it might be to get a full reset. That's why I asked. But if it weren't, and, you know, given your proximity, your go blue, and Jim Harbaugh, and he's not signing a contract reportedly because Michigan wants a clause in there that says you can't talk to the NFL. No looking, no nothing, no flirting, no nothing for 1 year. And the fact that somebody reported that, which might or might not be true, but if it's out there, and he seems like a guy who, if you're starting over with a quarterback, he knows quarterbacking. His history as a coach tells you that. I don't know if there's any news you have, any insight that you have on that, but I'm going to ask anyways about Harbaugh in Michigan.
Well, the last time I talked to Jim was just before all the suspensions started. Not the first suspension, the second suspension, about 6-7 weeks ago. And Jim is a great football coach, and he is a good quarterback coach. But he does, you know, he's got an interesting personality, and he cannot be forgiven for all that happened. You know, he was the head coach. So even though I think he's been treated somewhat unfairly since they continue to say they have no evidence that he knew about it, I doubt that that's true, but I think it's true that they have no evidence, but, you know, he had to have some idea of what's been going on with all this. But he's an excellent football coach. He's going to be badly wanted in the NFL. And he apparently has said a couple times that Chicago would interest him. I know that the Chargers would interest him too, because that's another roster. That roster, maybe even a little more than the Bears, is ready to go and going back to California. And I've heard reports mm-hmm. that his wife wouldn't mind going back to California. So I think that, you know, Jim will consider everything. When somebody makes an offer, he wants to hear, you know, what that offer is. And he could be great with the Bears, but he doesn't always work well with people, you know, and I don't know how Ryan Poles would feel about that. So it would be very interesting, you know, and I think Bears fans, you know, who were pleased when he left would be really excited if he came back. And it certainly would be a good hire. You look at his brother, who may be the best coach in the NFL, and you look at what he did going to a Super Bowl his second year as the head coach of the 49ers. It would be a great hire. And I'd love it because I have pretty good access to it.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody knows what's happening with Michigan at this point. I'm still stunned, and I'm not making any predictions. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but the fact that they're the number one team in the nation and everybody I've heard is picking Alabama to beat them tomorrow, you just don't know at this point. But it's a fun thing to think about, and it's a fun conversation. But the one thing I'm kind of locked in, and I really do think that Flus is going to be back for another year. You know, it's just that's what I've seen happening the last couple of weeks. And I think with what they've done, that may be the best thing for where they're at right now, to give it one more year and see what he can do with it.
All right. You're entitled to be wrong, Hub. That's all I have to say.
No, I'm just kidding. God knows I've done it often enough.
Hub, have a happy new year. Be well. Thank you for your time.
All right, Steve. All right. Take care.
Hub Arkush, he was on the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. And that's where that goes. Always good to get Jim Harbaugh inside. And boy, Jim Harbaugh, yep, he has trouble working and playing well with others, but he sure gets stuff done if you're a quarterback-centric team, and the Bears need to be that. I'm going to take a break when I come back. Jalen Johnson said something. And so I'll repeat it, and then I will comment on it, because I've decided this year for Christmas all year, you're going to get my opinions. That's what I'm giving. I'm giving out my opinions. And then later in the hour, Chuck Swirsky will be here with Talks and Bulls. And he was a good friend of the late Joey Meyer. Joey Meyer, somebody you should know about. Joey Meyer was a really good coach and an even better human being. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
And I am Steve Rosenblum, but you fellow suckageers already knew that. Thank you for joining me. We're halfway through this last Saturday Suckage of 2023. As long as nobody important is listening, I'll be back for 2024. And about 10 minutes, we're going to talk with Chuck Swirsky. Bulls are playing tonight, Bulls Sixers, and great opportunity to beat the Sixers. And more importantly, I'm going to talk about Joey Meyer. You may not know, if you've only followed sports in only the last 30 years in Chicago, it won't mean anything to you. But 30 years before that, Meyer name was all over Chicago sports, Chicago basketball. I mean, here's how accomplished the Meyer name was. It made college basketball a thing in Chicago. Good luck trying to figure out whenever that's happened since. So Chuck was a good friend of Joey Meyer, went to Paul basketball. We're going to talk to Chuck about that. He's got some things to say about his late good friend. Joey Meyer died yesterday at age 74. Let me tell you about this, about the score and what we're offering, along with Remy Martin. Remy Martin and 670 The Score want to give you a chance to play hoops on the United Center Court of Dreams. Look for the Remy display at your local retailer and scan the code to enter. Details at 670thescore.com/contests. Remy Martin, team up for excellence. So Jalen Johnson, Bears cornerback, had something to say. He's a member in good standing of the Parkinson Spiegel Show, 2 to 6, Monday through Friday. So he was asked in an open locker room setting. This wasn't on the show. This is an open locker room setting. He was asked if it was difficult. He was asked about all of the constant change, with the constant talk of change, I should say, with the Bears.
Is it difficult to tune out the questions, the unknown, the conversations? I mean, we ask about it all the time.
I don't think so. I mean, honestly, if you've been in the organization long enough, you're used to it by now. So, I mean, just honestly, just keep your head down, continue to work, and continue to just try to get better week by week.
Okay. The key part of that, I don't think so. If you've been in the organization long enough, you're used to it by now. So... You hear that and you think, wow, that sounds like an argument to keep Eberflus and his staff and all the coaches and the quarterback and no more change, blah, blah, blah. Nope. For me, it's an argument to start over and start clean and start smarter. Not a GM and coaching staff who... get stuck with a quarterback and go nowhere, and we're bringing a new one, but they've already shown their weaknesses, and I don't see how it's read as anything except an idea that you can change everything. You get a clean slate, as I was talking about with Hub, something we've never seen the Bears seize. You get a clean slate. You get a new coach, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback. That's it. We're going to do this all right, all at the same time, not have something left over. I mean, this is an organization that does things so ridiculously that Lovie Smith was around to help interview his success, his boss, who would turn out to be Phil Emery, and then would turn into Mark Trestman. Yuck, yuck, yuck. How does that work out for everybody? And in the course of things, people want to laud the Bears for not sucking as bad as their 0-4 start was. The interim coach for this team had months to prepare for the arch rival and evil and dreaded Green Bay Packers and a new quarterback, not Aaron Rodgers. And this Bears coach soiled the bed. 6 months to prepare, and he soiled the bed.
Matt Eberchoke
failed miserably. Same for the players and the coaches. If you can't be ready to play the opener against that team, that rival, you failed all over the place. What excuse do you have? You don't get a do-over. You get a hearty hand clasp and a goodbye with as many people needing to go as need to go. See, lauding this team for not sucking as badly as their winless start and crediting the coach for directing this is a joke. It's the coach's fault. First of all, it's his job to have his team ready, and he didn't. And many of the reasons people are talking about distractions, you heard Deion Miller's question there, they're self-inflicted wounds. Eberflus can't hire assistant coaches. Two of them are gone, and one who's still here you don't want is your offensive coordinator. And now you're going to keep him around and let him hire more people? That's insanity. And if you want to talk about wins, wow, look, they win. They went 0-4, but now look at all the wins. Hey, if only, and now you sound like Wani. If only, wow, if you throw out all the things we lost, then we'd be undefeated. Here's the deal. You want to talk about wins, that's fine. It's a last place schedule. One win, by my count, has come against a team that's better than 500. Really? Really? Okay. Take a break. We'll talk to somebody who is a play-by-play voice of the Bulls and a good friend of Joey Meyer, which means he lost a good friend yesterday. We'll talk to Chuck Swirsky next. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
And they go to Kobe, negotiates his way to the rim. The dish to Drummond, puts it on the deck. In front, DeRozan, three ball, no. Rebound, Caruso's. Reset on the clock, they go to Kobe. Kobe knocking inside with a right-handed layup, up and good.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Rebounds, ball movement. I think the Bulls will have a better chance of doing it better tonight against the Sixers without Joel Embiid. That's the game. That's the setting for tonight's game. Bulls-Sixers. Chuck's pregame show is at 6:45. tip-off at 7. And joining me on the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports is the voice of the Bulls. He is Chuck Swirsky. Chuck, how are you today?
Steven, good to hear your voice. Thank you.
You too, sir. I appreciate you coming on. And I certainly like the Bulls' chances without Embiid in the lineup and with Drummond facing his former team. And he's got, by last count, I think the tote board said 7,000 rebounds in the last 5 minutes. So I think they're good. He's been a thing, and I think he needs to be a thing tonight.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, without Embiid, and the Bulls, as you know, played a couple of weeks ago in Philadelphia, and Embiid had another monster game. I mean, he's having such a fabulous season, Steve, as you know. I mean, he is really destined for greatness post-basketball-wise. He's going to end up in the Hall of Fame the way his numbers are just adding up and adding up over the last few years. But having said that, you're right. Drummond in the post tonight. Paul Reed, the former DePaul star, is 6'9". Drummond takes up a lot of paint room. And I'm looking for the Bulls to feed him the rock tonight. And I think Drummond's going to have a double-double. There you go.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Chuck stepping out. And he'll be, if that happens, he'll be stepping and high-stepping. And he'll be dancing.
Yeah, you know, maybe I'll ask Drummond to join me if he gets a double-double. I doubt that's going to happen, but hey, whatever.
Okay. Oh, all right. Yeah, he might have other things to do post-game. Chuck Swirsky Chuck Swirsky is my guest. We are talking Bulls on the Sports, but Bulls on the Score. You'll hear him tonight, 6:45, Chicago Sports Radio, 670, The Score. And more importantly, Joey Meyer passed away yesterday at 74. You lost a good and longtime friend. I think to inform people here, like if you were just a Chicago sports fan for the last 30 years, you might not really know who he is or what he is. But for the 30 years before that, Joey Meyer, the Meyer name, DePaul basketball was a thing that you have to convince people and have to show them the history that Chicago was a college basketball town at one time, which it doesn't feel like and hasn't been for a while. So let's start in 1979 when you met Joey, first time you came across him.
Okay, well, 1979, you're right, Steve. I appeared in Chicago for the first time doing a nightly sports talk show. And I had a brief connection with a DePaul assistant by the name of Jim Molinari because while I was in Seattle, I developed a really strong relationship with Jack Sikma, who played at Illinois Wesleyan, was the number one pick by the Sonics, you know, led Seattle to a championship in his second season as a pro. He played collegiately with Jim Molinari at Illinois Wesleyan. Moll played ball in Glen Ellen in high school, went to Kansas State, was actually a backcourt teammate of Lon Kruger, who former Illini coach, former NBA coach, so on and so forth, and then he transferred to Illinois Wesleyan. So when I got the job here in Chicago, Steve, Jack Sikma reached out and said, listen, you know, you gotta connect with Jim Molinari, good friend. He's an assistant at DePaul under Ray Meyer. So I didn't know a soul here. Honest to God, Steve, I didn't know one person in Chicago. So I reached out to Jim Molinari. Jim said, why don't you come over to our office, very small office at Alumni Hall on Belden. And he introduced me to the staff. And, of course, that included Joey Meyer. And from that moment on, I can honestly tell you, probably some of it is because professionally I was locked into my show. Some of it personal because we were kind of the same age in our, you know, mid-20s, late-20s, early-30s in that range. And we became inseparable. I mean, it was unbelievable. I would probably show up in his office 4 days of the week, and I would watch film with him. I saw recruits come in. They would bring recruits by WGN Radio, and I would show them GN TV and GN Radio because GN TV was the greatest recruiter DePaul had and Coach Ray. But Joey got after it. Moll got after it recruiting-wise, but all these kids from the East Coast and the West Coast would have WGN as a superstation. And a lot of schools were very jealous and envious of the DePaul program because they were on the superstation like WTBS in Atlanta with the Braves. And so Joey really, you know, took advantage of that, understandably so, and got these kids from the East Coast and got these kids from the West Coast to come to Chicago. And there you have it. And so my relationship started to build. Obviously, I did their play-by-play. I did the coach's show with Joey, and he was a wonderful man. He really is and was now. I can't still believe I'm saying this past tense because, you know, it seems like yesterday I was on the phone with him a few months ago, and he had gone through so much physically with his body. And, you know, hopefully now that he's resting in peace.
Chuck, when you heard, where were you and what did you think? What emotions did you feel? What most resounded?
Well, I heard last night, and, you know, I kind of was preparing for this because I was receiving information regarding his health. And, you know, everyone connected with the DePaul program when Joey either played there, was an assistant, or as the head coach, respected him so much in his family with Barbara and his son, Brian. And, I mean, to see the different phases of his world as an assistant under his dad. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, Steve, and probably I'm giving some information that I'm not sure it's really public, but I'll tell you now that in 1980, Oklahoma was in the market for a new head coach, and they wanted Joey Meyer badly because Joey's reputation as a coach, as a recruiter, and Oklahoma really wanted him. And they were talking to John Thompson at Georgetown. They were talking to Joey, an assistant to Paul, and Billy Tubbs. And Joey really wanted to succeed his father. But he also wanted to give his father space because, I mean, his dad loved coaching, obviously. And so DePaul and Coach Ray made an arrangement that when Coach Ray was going to step down, whenever that was going to be, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, whatever, that Joey would succeed him. And that's why he stayed, or that was the chief reason, obviously, why he stayed. But he could have had the Oklahoma job, period.
Chuck Swirsky is my guest. He's the play-by-play voice of the Bulls. You hear him here on The Score. But previously, he had been the play-by-play voice of a lot of other teams, mostly DePaul, or mainly DePaul, for this conversation. And DePaul basketball was a thing. Joey Meyer took over for his dad. He went to the 13 years. He went to seven tournaments, twice to the Sweet 16. But here's the thing about him, that the fallout, the response to people hearing he passed away, as good a basketball coach as he was, and once he was National Coach of the Year, so as great as he could be, he was even better as a human being, as a person. I know you've got experiences with that. Will you share them with our audience?
Absolutely. Well, for the Beat reporters who covered DePaul at the time, and I know, Steve, you probably were around that program as well, but Tony Jannetty of the Sun-Times was around DePaul 24-7, a brilliant reporter. Obviously, you know, her record speaks for itself. She's in the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame, fabulous writer, wonderful person, and a pioneer, so to speak, in Chicago for women in sports communication. So she was covering DePaul. And Joey never, ever big-timed anybody. Bill Jouse of the Tribune, Scott Greger covered for the Daily Herald. And so you had a small group of reporters, but Joey trusted all of them. He also understood they had a job to do. And so he would receive tough questions when they were going through losing streaks or when they just had a question about X's and O's. And he never took it personally. And in a sense, that's what this job is all about. I mean, you know, Steve, you're in this position to ask questions, and it you know, it never becomes personal, and or you hope not. And Joey understood that. And so even through some very difficult challenges, I mean, DePaul had a number of them under his run, but he took the heat. He answered the questions because that was his makeup. And that's something I will always, as an observer from, you know, day one watching him, I will take from this experience with him as far as his legacy was his kindness and his respect for others. And if you read now some of the tributes coming in from opposing coaches or players he recruited, magnificent.
Yeah, that was what really, that rang true. That resounded with me because that was the man I knew. And I didn't know him as well as a lot of people in this city, but a lot of the people in this city who I respect who had dealings with him like you. I know Brian Hanley was a Cub reporter, a rookie reporter on DePaul for the Sun-Times, and Joey was not, as you said, not big time in anybody, but he was never a guy who, from what I heard, from what I could see, wasn't about to backstab anybody in whatever position. And NCAA college sports are a cesspool. Cool. I mean, it may not be the Olympics, but you can see it from there. And Joey was a guy who, whatever was called for, like you said, he stood up, and he was not about to lower himself to whatever cesspool levels there were. He was that kind of human in professional life, but also in his personal life. His family was sweet and tight.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, his wife Barbara was everything. His son Brian, tremendous. And this is just a really hard day for those of us who knew Joey on a personal level, professional level, because, again, the way he came across as a coach and as a person, there was no dichotomy whatsoever, Steve. I mean, what you saw from Joey was really intense. Don't think because, you know, Joey looked like, you know, a school teacher that he didn't get after it. He got after it. Trust me. I mean, I saw a ton of practices and he got after it. You know, but there was a separation where he wanted his own identity after replacing his dad. And I did the games with Coach Ray. And, you know, the first few years, it was tough on Coach Ray because, you know, he was still at times, even though he was a broadcaster or as an analyst, he was still coaching. And, but, you know, he wanted to give Joey his space and his time. And in time, that happened. And Joey became the head coach of DePaul, not, you know, Ray Meyer's son. And so, you know, again, the record speaks for itself that he'll go down as a terrific Chicago icon in coaching.
I think he's a really good example. You hit on it. Joey Meyer is the picture, the poster child for don't mistake kindness for weakness.
Correct.
And I think that's as far as legacies goes, that's a nice part to have that. I don't know if there's a snapshot in your mind before I let you go, a snapshot, a picture. Somebody says, Joey Meyer, whatever that picture is, what, share it with us. What pops into your mind?
Integrity, character, passion for his players, for his coaching staff, for sports information people, for trainers. I mean, Mike McCormick was unbelievable. He was joined to the hip with Joey on so many, you know, DePaul events as far as just games and prep time and everything. I mean, it was a small circle back then, Steve. I mean, not like these college and pro camps now where we have so many coaches and so many everything. And Joey treated everyone like family. And so that is how I'm going to remember Joe.
Excellent. Thank you for your time. I know this wasn't easy because you're talking about losing a good friend, but I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on, Chuck.
Always, Stephen. Thank you.
Care. Chuck Swirsky talking about Joey Meyer and also the play-by-play voice of the Bulls. The Bulls play at 7 o'clock tonight against Philadelphia. Chuck's pregame show is at 6:45. We'll take a break when we come back. WB Club, Wake and Bake Club members, join with me. I've discovered a way, I've figured out a way that we can save the city of Chicago, and it needs saving. The Wake and Bake Club meets on Saturday Suckage. After this, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And they go to Kobe, negotiates his way to the rim. The dish to Drummond, puts it on the deck. In front, DeRozan, three ball, no. Rebound, Caruso's. Reset on the clock, they go to Kobe. Kobe knife it inside with a right-handed layup, up and good.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Rebounds, ball movement. I think the Bulls will have a better chance of doing it better tonight against the Sixers without Joel Embiid. That's the game. That's the setting for tonight's game. Bulls Sixers. Chuck's pregame show is at 6:45. Tip off at 7. And joining me on the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports is the voice of the Bulls. He is Chuck Swirsky. Chuck, how are you today?
Steven, good to hear your voice. Thank you.
You too, sir. I appreciate you coming on. And Well, I certainly like the Bulls' chances without Embiid in the lineup and with Drummond facing his former team. And he's got, by last count, I think the tote board said 7,000 rebounds in the last 5 minutes. So I think they're good. He's been a thing, and I think he needs to be a thing tonight.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, without Embiid, and the Bulls, as you know, played a couple of weeks ago in Philadelphia. And Embiid had another monster game. I mean, he's having such a fabulous season, Steve, as you know. I mean, he is really destined for greatness post-basketball-wise. He's going to end up in the Hall of Fame the way his numbers are just adding up and adding up over the last few years. But having said that, you're right. Drummond in the post tonight. Paul Reed, the former DePaul star, is 6'9". Drummond takes up a lot of paint room. And I'm looking for the Bulls to feed them the rock tonight. And I think Drummond's going to have a double-double. There you go.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Chuck stepping out. And he'll be, if that happens, he'll be stepping and high-stepping, and he'll be dancing.
Yeah, you know, maybe I'll ask Drummond to join me if he gets a double-double. I doubt that's going to happen, but hey, whatever.
Okay. Oh, all right. Yeah, he might have other things to do post-game. Chuck Swirsky Chuck Swirsky is my guest. We are talking Bulls on the Sports, but Bulls on the Score. You'll hear him tonight, 6:45, Chicago Sports Radio, 670, The Score. And more importantly, Joey Meyer passed away yesterday at 74. You lost a good and longtime friend. I think to inform people here, like if you were just a Chicago sports fan for the last 30 years, you might not really know who he is or what he is. But for the 30 years before that, Joey Meyer, the Meyer name, DePaul basketball was a thing that you have to convince people and have to show them the history that Chicago was a college basketball town at one time, which it doesn't feel like and hasn't been for a while. So let's start in 1979 when you met Joey, first time you came across him.
Okay, well, 1979, you're right, Steve. I appeared in Chicago for the first time doing a nightly sports talk show. And I had a brief connection with a DePaul assistant by the name of Jim Molinari because while I was in Seattle, I developed a really strong relationship with Jack Sikma, who played at Illinois Wesleyan, was the number one pick by the Sonics, you know, led Seattle to a championship in his second season as a pro. he played collegiately with Jim Molinari at Illinois Wesleyan. Moll played ball in Glen Ellyn in high school, went to Kansas State, was actually a backcourt teammate of Lon Kruger, who former Illini coach, former NBA coach, so on and so forth, and then he transferred to Illinois Wesleyan. So when I got the job here in Chicago, Steve, Jack Sikma reached out and said, listen, you know, you gotta connect with Jim Molinari, good friend. He's an assistant at DePaul under Ray Meyer. So I didn't know a soul here. Honest to God, Steve, I didn't know one person in Chicago. So I reached out to Jim Molinari. Jim said, why don't you come over to our office, very small office at Alumni Hall on Belden. And he introduced me to the staff. And, of course, that included Joey Meyer. And from that moment on, I can honestly tell you, probably some of it is because professionally I was locked into my show. Some of it personal because we were kind of the same age in our, you know, mid-20s, late-20s, early-30s, in that range, and we became inseparable. I mean, it was unbelievable. I would probably show up in his office 4 days of the week, and I would watch film with him. I saw recruits come in. They would bring recruits by WGN Radio, and I would show them GN TV and GN Radio because GN TV was the greatest recruiter DePaul had, mm-hmm. and Coach Ray. But Joey got after it. Moll got after it recruiting-wise. But all these kids from the East Coast and the West Coast would have WGN as a superstation. And a lot of schools were very jealous and envious of the DePaul program because they were on the superstation like WTBS in Atlanta with the Braves. And so Joey really, you know, took advantage of that. Understandably so, and got these kids from the East Coast and got these kids from the West Coast to come to Chicago, and there you have it. And so my relationship started to build. Obviously, I did their play-by-play. I did the coaches show with Joey, and he was a wonderful man. He really is and was now. I can't still believe I'm saying this past tense because, you know, it seems like yesterday I was on the phone with him a few months ago. And he had gone through so much physically with his body. And, you know, hopefully now that he's resting in peace.
Chuck, when you heard, where were you and what did you think? What emotions did you feel? What most resounded?
Well, I heard last night. And, you know, I kind of was preparing for this because I was receiving information regarding his health. And, you know, everyone connected with the DePaul program when Joey either played there, was an assistant, or as the head coach, respected him so much in his family with Barbara and his son, Brian. And, I mean, to see the different phases of his world as an assistant under his dad. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, Steve, and probably I'm giving some information that I'm not sure it's really public, but I'll tell you now. That in 1980, Oklahoma was in the market for a new head coach, and they wanted Joey Meyer badly because Joey's reputation as a coach, as a recruiter, and Oklahoma really wanted him. And they were talking to John Thompson at Georgetown. They were talking to Joey, an assistant to Paul, and Billy Tubbs. And Joey really wanted to succeed his father. But he also wanted to give his father space because, I mean, his dad loved coaching, obviously. And so DePaul and Coach Ray made an arrangement that when Coach Ray was going to step down, whenever that was going to be, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, whatever, that Joey would succeed him. And that's why he stayed. Or that was a cheap reason, obviously, why he stayed. But he could have had the Oklahoma job, period.
Chuck Swirsky is my guest. He's the play-by-play voice of the Bulls. You hear him here on The Score. But previously, he had been the play-by-play voice of a lot of other teams, mostly DePaul, or mainly DePaul, for this conversation. And DePaul basketball was a thing. Joey Meyer took over for his dad. He went to the 13 years. He went to seven tournaments, twice to the Sweet 16. But here's the thing about him, that the fallout, the response to people hearing he passed away, as good a basketball coach as he was, and once he was National Coach of the Year, so as great as he could be, He was even better as a human being, as a person. I know you've got experiences with that. Will you share them with the, with our audience?
Absolutely. Well, for the Beat reporters who covered DePaul at the time, and I know, Steve, you probably were around that program as well, but Tony Jannetty of the Sun-Times was around DePaul 24/7, a brilliant reporter. Obviously, you know, her record speaks for itself. She's in the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame, fabulous writer, wonderful person, and a pioneer, so to speak, in Chicago for women in sports communication. So she was covering DePaul, and Joey never, ever big-timed anybody. Bill Joust of the Tribune, Scott Greger covered for the Daily Herald. And so you had a small group of reporters, but Joey trusted all of them. He also understood they had a job to do. And so he would receive tough questions when they were going through losing streaks or when they just had a question about X's and O's. And he never took it personally. And in a sense, that's what this job is all about. I mean, you know, Steve, you're in this position to ask questions. And it you know, it never becomes personal, and or you hope not. And Joey understood that. And so even through some very difficult challenges, I mean, DePaul had a number of them under his run, but he took the heat. He answered the questions because that was his makeup. And that's something I will always, as an observer from, you know, day one watching him, I will take from this experience with him as far as his legacy was his kindness and his respect for others. And if you read now some of the tributes coming in from opposing coaches or players he recruited, magnificent.
Yeah, that was what really, that rang true. That resounded with me because that was the man I knew. And I didn't know him as well as a lot of people in this city, but a lot of people in this city who I respect who had dealings with him like you. I know Brian Hanley was a Cub reporter, a rookie reporter on DePaul for the Sun-Times, and Joey was, not, as you said, not big time in anybody. But he was never a guy who, from what I heard, from what I could see, wasn't about to backstab anybody in whatever position. And NCAA college sports are a cesspool. I mean, it may not be the Olympics, but you can see it from there. And Joey was a guy who, whatever was called for, like you said, he stood up and he was not about to lower himself to whatever cesspool levels there were. He was that kind of human in professional life, but also in his personal life. His family was sweet and tight.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, his wife Barbara was everything. His son Brian, tremendous. And this is just a really hard day for those of us who knew Joey on a personal level, professional level, because, again, the way he came across as a coach and as a person, there was no dichotomy whatsoever, Steve. I mean, what you saw from Joey was really intense. Don't think because, you know, Joey looked like, you know, a school teacher that he didn't get after it. He got after it. Trust me. I mean, I saw a ton of practices and he got after it. You know, but there was a separation where he wanted his own identity after replacing his dad. And I did the games with Coach Ray. And, you know, the first few years, it was tough on Coach Ray because, you know, he was still at times, even though he was a broadcaster or as an analyst, he was still coaching. And but, you know, he wanted to give Joey his space and his time. And in time, that happened. And Joey became the head coach of DePaul, not, you know, Ray Meyer's son. And so, you know, again, the record speaks for itself that he'll go down as a terrific Chicago icon in coaching.
I think he's a really good example. You hit on it. Joey Meyer is the picture, the poster child for don't mistake kindness for weakness.
Correct.
And I think that's as far as legacies goes, that's a nice part to have that. I don't know if there's a snapshot in your mind before I let you go, a snapshot, a picture. Somebody says Joey Meyer, whatever that picture is, what share it with us. What pops into your mind?
Integrity, character, passion for his players, for his coaching staff, for sports information people, for trainers. I mean, Mike McCormick was unbelievable. He was joined to the hip with Joey on so many, you know, DePaul events as far as just games and prep time and everything. I mean, if you, again, it was a small circle back then, Steve. I mean, not like these college and pro camps now where we have so many coaches and so many everything. And Joey treated everyone like family. And so that is how I'm going to remember Joe.
Excellent. Thank you for your time. I know this wasn't easy because you're talking about losing a good friend, but I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on, Chuck.
Always, Stephen. Thank you.
Care. Chuck Swirsky talking about Joey Meyer and also the play-by-play voice of the Bulls. The Bulls play at 7 o'clock tonight against Philadelphia. Chuck's pregame show is at 6:45. We'll take a break when we come back. WB Club, Wake and Bake Club members, join with me. I've discovered a way, I've figured out a way that we can save the city of Chicago, and it needs saving. The Wake and Bake Club meets on Saturday Suckage. After this, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.